Now I'm on, I hope. Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 7. To open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. That's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Going to take care of the prisoners and release them. And yet in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. So, on the one hand, the Lord is coming to let the prisoners out of prison. And then Paul said he was a prisoner. So, you're always going to be a prisoner. You're just going to be bound to a different master, imprisoned by a different person. You can be in prison, you can be in bondage to sin and the flesh, the world and the devil, or you can be in bondage to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to talk to you this morning for a few minutes about prisoners. Now, I know a lot more about prisoners than I used to, and I must confess I know a lot more about prisons and prisoners than I care to. I've never been in jail on my own. I've never been locked up, never been arrested. I just never saw anything there that was, I felt like it was something I wanted to pursue. And so I've just done my best to stay out of those kind of places. Amen. Now, I've been in prison, visiting, preaching, going to see people that I know or people that ask me to go and visit. And so I've spent some time around them. And I must confess, I'd just about as soon be in the hospital as to be in prison. There's an air about those places, just kind of creeps you out. Just not a warm, fuzzy feeling in a prison. Well, when you drive up to it, first thing you see is razor wire. It's everywhere. And then you look and they got a fence here with razor wire on the top, and then about 15 or 20 feet behind it, they got another fence with razor wire on the top. And to get in, you got to go through a gate, then you go through another gate, then you stop at a checkpoint, then they got a gate that they buzz open, and you go in there, and then every time you come to a wall, you got to stop and let them unlock the door so you can get in. And while you're walking toward the next door, you hear this door slam shut. And then you hear that bolt slam shut. And you realize you're locked in. And whether you're guilty of anything or not, for the next few minutes, you're a prisoner. And there ain't nothing you knew about it. Now, I've been to different kind of prisons. Some of them were pretty loose and pretty lax. And some of them, boy, I tell you what, they must have some bad dudes in there. Because, you got to jump through hoops just to get in. I can't imagine trying to get out. I went down to see a fellow named Dale some years ago. Went down there with Brother Henry Rose. And Dale, he got himself in trouble. He shot a cop in the hand with a 30-30 rifle, if I remember right. But anyway, they put him in jail for a couple of years. And we went down to visit him. And they had him in maximum security down in Columbia. Man, you go down this long concrete tunnel. You go through a locked door. You sign in. You go on down the ways, and there's like three or four of these things you got to go through. And then you get to the last one, and they open it, and you walk in. And it's a big open chamber in there. And you see guys milling about. They got some tables and stuff. All the people are wearing leg irons. It's a slate floor. So everywhere they go, they drag them leg iron on that slate. That's the eeriest sound you will ever hear. Them chains rattling on that stone floor. When we got out of there, I thought, Lord, I ain't ever coming back to here. This guy's going to finish his time up without seeing me again. I sent him a letter. I'll get a drone or something and fly it over and drop him a package, but I ain't going back. Now, they're not all that bad, but some of them, well, some of them are pretty rough. They had prisoners in there walking around. They had leg irons on. They had a chain to come up, and they had chains on their arm, and their feet and their arms were chained together. They actually wearing handcuffs on their hands and their feet, and that was tied around their waist. I mean, you ain't going to do much bound up like that. The Lord only knows why some of them guys are in there. Now, if you talk to them, ain't none of them done nothing. And if you talk to them, they're all Christians. Everybody in jail is saved. That's where Brother Steve runs the ministry to the saints in prison. Because they're all born again. And they didn't do nothing wrong. Every one of them was framed. So, I heard Dr. Rumble one time, he said, he said, a fella told him one time, he said, he was asking him what he was in there for. He said, the same thing these other guys are in here for. He said, we're all in here for the same thing. And Doc said, well, he thought some of them guys were murderers and rapists and robbers and thugs and this, that, and the other. He said, what do you mean you're all in here for the same thing? He said, every man in here is in here for the same thing. He said, every man in here is in here because trying to have a good time. They're all in there for exactly the same reason. Now, let me talk to you about these prisoners for a minute. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Prisoner of the Lord. Most of us don't look at it that way. We talk about being set free. Set free from the bondage of sin, from the power of sin, and one day from the presence of sin. Thank God I'm free. Thank God I'm free. And that's the way we look at it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. And you are now the prisoner of Jesus Christ. That is, you're a bondservant of the Lord. Well, I got thinking about it, and I thought, I know some things about prisoners. And the Bible's got a lot to say about jailbirds. It's amazing. I didn't write them all down. I just wrote down the ones I liked the best. Judges chapter 16, verse 21, Samson labors in prison. In 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 27, Micaiah eats bread and water in prison. In 1 Kings chapter 25, verse 29, Jeconiah wears prison clothes. Jeremiah 52, and verse 11, Zedekiah dies in prison. He was a lifer. Jeremiah 32:8, Hamiel visits Jeremiah in prison. Thank goodness you can have visitors sometime. Some of them boys don't ever get any, though. We've been down there many a day, and some of them boys never see a soul. Nobody ever comes to visit. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 44, there are some people in prison that are sick. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 16, there are some people in prison who are famous. Barabbas. There are a lot of celebrities in jail. In Acts chapter 16, verse 25, some can sing in prison. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, Jesus was in the prison ministry. Well, he went to paradise out of hell and led captivity captive, didn't he? Jesus was in prison ministry. And so the Bible got a lot to say about prisons and prisoners and their conduct, and we could go on there for a long, long time. But let me talk to you about prisoners. And things that are true about people who are prisoners. And perhaps we can be instructed by that. The Lord always used illustrations to make a simple truth clear. And so you could see the spiritual application through physical things. And so let me give you an illustration this morning of some of the things that are true about prisoners. Number one, a prisoner is first tried and convicted. Amen. You say, well, sometimes they put them in prison awaiting trial. Yes, that's called being detained. It don't count as being in jail. Now, sometimes they'll say, we'll do this, this, and this, and give you this much credit for time served, see? But they're detaining you because you have not been found guilty. And so you're not, in reality, a prisoner until you've been tried and convicted. Now, I was a prisoner of sin and of the devil. And I, believe me, I've been tried and convicted, and so have you. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And people say, well, I may have sinned, but I'm not a really bad person. Well, all you got to do is sin once. I mean, if you read off the entire litany of sins for Adam and Eve, it wouldn't be but one. Amen. You don't even, you can put it on the back of a postage stamp. You don't need a sheet of paper to write down their crimes. But it was enough to damn the human race. So we were tried and convicted. Then I got out of that prison. Say, why? Well, I sold myself to Jesus Christ. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. I accepted that. I received Jesus Christ. I'm saved by his marvelous, amazing grace. Amen? And now I'm in bondage. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And believe me, I've been tried and convicted. I didn't plead innocent. I pleaded guilty. Amen? And Jesus bore my sins on Calvary's cross and paid my sin debt. And I am no longer a sinner. And such were some of you, but you're washed, you're justified, you're sanctified through the blood of Christ. Now, let me give you some things I know about prisoners from observation. A few years ago, I would have had to read this in a book, but I've seen this eyeball to eyeball. I mean, I've looked at it myself. I know this is true. In prison, they control your appetites. They do. You say, well, I like so-and-so, and I'm not talking about just food, even though they control that too. They control your entertainment. They control your recreation. They put a control on everything in your life. You can't even go potty without permission. Amen? Prison's a nasty place. If you're a person that likes to do his own thing and make his own decisions and you know, but you'd have a hard time in jail because you can't do that. You say, well, I'm going to go down and watch a little TV. My favorite program comes on about 9 o'clock. And you go down there and there's 40 other people in the TV lounge and 38 of them want to watch something besides what you want to watch. Now, unless you can whoop the whole crowd, guess what? You got options. You can watch what they're watching. You can start the biggest fight in history. Or you can go back to your cell. Amen. My house, I want to watch something, I just slap the wife and take the clicker and... They control all your appetites. They give you a certain amount of food. They control your salt and pepper. They give you so much meat and so many starches and this, that, and the other, and... They say this is good for you and this will keep you healthy, and they don't care whether you like it or not. You either learn to eat it or go hungry. Amen. You like to watch TV 20 hours a day? Sorry. Can't do that. You like to sit and lay in your bunk and read? Well, you can't do that either. They got things for you to do. They determine. They control your appetites. Well, when I got saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, he put some restrictions on some of my appetites. I can't go drinking no more. Amen? My appetite for booze was curtailed. My appetite for smoking, oh, and I love to smoke, was curtailed. He said, you just can't do that anymore. I used to like to go down to the beach and run around naked in the surf. And God said, you can't run around naked anymore. We're going to curtail those things. Amen. And so a lot of those appetites that I had, I used to like to play poker. Can't gamble anymore. Say, what's going on? My appetites, the things that I like, the things that I wanted to do, the things that I crave, I can't do them all anymore. There's just some things I'm just not. You say, why? Because I'm a prisoner. I belong to Jesus Christ. And I'm a prisoner of the Lord. And so there's certain things I just can't do anymore. I can't exercise all my carnal desires and appetites. I did something else. You ever notice that in jail, your dress is dictated? Now, when you go to the prison, you can readily identify the prisoners from the prison guards and from the visitors. Say, why is that? Well, only God knows what the visitors are going to show up in. But you know something? The prison system's got more sense than public education or television or American parents. If you go down to any prison in South Carolina, and you go in there and your dress is too short or too low, they will not let you in. If you go down there and you've got on too much jewelry and stuff, that you either go take it off or you don't go in. I thought, we got to get them locked up and put them in jail before anybody gets any sense. Somebody said in high school they give them condoms and in prison they give them Bibles. Might work a lot better if we'd switch that around a little bit and give them Bibles in church, in school. Dress is dictated. The visitors can wear pretty much anything they want to. The guards are all in uniform. You can always tell who the guards are. Amen. Some prisons, the uniforms are brown. Some prisons, the uniforms are blue. Some of them's got white or khaki pants, or blue or khaki pants and a white shirt. But they all got a uniform. And it all says prison guard or, you know, they're readily, visibly identifiable. And all the prisoners got on a uniform too. They usually got a stripe down the legs and one down the back and a number. Amen. Different prisons use different uniforms. Some of them say prisoner, South Carolina State Prison, so-and-so. But whatever it is, every prisoner in that prison will be dressed just alike. You can tell who the prisoners are. Of course, now you get saved and become a prisoner of Jesus Christ, you'd think that people would be able to look at us and tell who we were. Hello? So what do? We dress like the visitors. Every fashion, every fad, every frill, whatever Hollywood pumps out, whatever clothing manufacturers pump out, and most of them are a bunch of fags. You know, you say, well, I like to be in style. I like to be stylish. Well, just let me tell you, you're letting some queer tell you what clothes to wear. Amen, amen, amen. I would not wear it just to be in rebellion so them queers would go hungry. Amen. Oh, preacher, you're homophobic. You don't know nothing. Then some appetites are curtailed. Some dresses dictated. Some activities are curtailed. You know, before I got saved, I could go to a bar. I ain't going anymore. Say, why? I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he don't drink. Amen. He don't go to bars. Amen. I've heard saved people say, well, I'm going back down to the bar to witness to them fellas that I used to run around with. Well, you're an idiot. Wait till he goes home. Wait till he goes to work. Bump into him down at Walmart. Call him up and invite him out for dinner. But you don't need to go down to the bar. Amen, 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 and amen. A lot of activities, a lot of things we did when we was lost, we can't do anymore. Amen. Then in prison, all the prisoners and everybody you hang out with, all your associates are people of like circumstance. That is, you know who prisoners hang out with? Prisoners. Everybody you got for a buddy is a convict. Everybody you call friend, everybody you strike up a relationship with, he's a convict. And you know something? You a convict. You know why they call them convicts? Because they've been convicted. Amen. Boy, we changed the names. You know, they don't like to call them convicts anymore. They call them inmates. They're not inmates, they're convicts. If they hadn't been convicted, they wouldn't be in there. You got that, mate? It's just silly the way we do things. They're convicts. They've been convicted. They're guilty. Now, and everybody you hang out with is just like you. Now, you ever think about this? You know, you get saved and go down here, and I guess this is the prison house. All these folks in the same circumstance. I once was alive or dead, and now I'm alive, right? I once was lost, and now I'm saved. What's your case, lady? Was you ever lost? Oh, yeah. Was you convicted? Oh, yeah. Are you saved now? Hallelujah. How about you, sir? Were you ever convicted? Anybody in here never been convicted? You've been convicted, haven't you? Somebody say amen. You're not. Are you saved now? You got convicted and then you got saved. And we all in the same prison. So you know what that tells me? That tells me that all my associates ought to be convicts. All my friends ought to be God's youngins. The people I hang out with, the people I associate with, ought to be folks who've been saved by God's amazing grace. Amen, amen, and amen. This bothers me that God's people, they're out getting a little liberty, get a little freedom in the prison. The first thing they want to do is hang out with people that ain't been convicted. Well, I got nothing in common with them. Listen, you convicts understand me, don't you? I mean, if you ever been convicted for your crime and been through the process and been through the courts and the trials and the lawyers, and you know all the ins and outs, and you know the sorrow and the heartbreak of crime and being convicted of it and locked up, man, but you and I got something in common we can talk about. Amen? And if you've been saved by God's amazing grace and the sweet Holy Spirit lives in you and you've got that sense of freedom and liberty in Jesus Christ, amen, we got something we can talk about. I talk to them folks out there, they don't understand. I get all excited, I hear a song that brings tears to my eyes. They think, what's wrong with him? I said, listen to that, it don't mean nothing to them. We was at that wedding yesterday and they had that music playing. Now, thank God, I could hear the music, the beat to it, but I had a real hard time making out the words. Some of them, the older rock and roll was a little easier to understand because they speak clearer. But you know, that music didn't do a thing for me. I kept thinking, when are they going to play the Southern Gospel? And everybody around there, I could see them lip-syncing the words and this, that, and the other. It didn't mean squat to me. Now, if I'd have put on a good Cathedral's Quartet or something like that, you know, then people would have said, whoa, what kind of, you can't dance to that. Yeah, how about that, huh? Yeah. You can't. I like my associates to be people that I got something in common with. Somebody I can relate to, as they say these days. I'll tell you something else about prisoners. All prisoners are required to do some form of work. They give them all a job. The only guy that ain't working is a guy in solitary confinement. Everybody else has got to do something. He got to make his own bed. Do you know in prison, if you go to the restroom, if you don't put the lid down, you get demerits, you get points taken away? They got rules and regulations, and some of them are just nitpicking, but you have to go by them or you pay a price for it. Amen? You only got a certain time to eat. And if you don't get there, you don't get nothing. And they don't care if you ran late. Son, they close that kitchen, you just without. Prison in this world is not a friendly place to be. They got the most nickel-dime rules and schedules, and every layer of supervision is a little kingdom of its own. And they each one have their own little rules on top of everybody else's. The prison system is pathetic. But everybody in there is required to do something. You can push a cart and pick up the dirty laundry. You can mop floors. You can clean bathrooms. You can work in the library. You can work in sick bay. You can work in the kitchen. You can work in the grounds crew. But they're going to find something for you to do, and they're not interested in whether you say, well, I can't do that. I just, that's not me. I don't like that kind of thing. I can only do a job I like. Well, you better learn to like this one because you're going to do it. Amen. In prison, you are required to work. Then you get saved by the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and become a bondservant of the Lord and a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can't get a lick out of you. Now, we sit around and talk to each other. Well, I know the Lord's leaving me here for a reason. I know the Lord's got something for me to do. Well, we've been waiting on you to do it for 35 years. How about getting off your butt and get busy? Well, I'm waiting for the Lord to give me something that I like, something that I'm qualified. Well, won't you start by doing something you don't like, something you're not qualified for, and see if the Lord will move you on up the ladder. Amen. Everybody wants to start in management. Nobody wants the service entry level job. Nobody wants to start out with the simple and the mundane and the no glory to it. Everybody wants to start up here and be a... Well, it don't work that way. Don't work that way in the world. Don't work that way at prison. And it don't work that way in the church. Now, prisoners are in different places in the body of Christ. Because prisoners are in different places in prison. You say, well, they're in jail, and you lump them all together. And generically, that's okay. Because, I mean, you can say, you know, you're in jail, you're in jail, you're in jail. And that's true. But not everybody is in the same place in jail. Not every prisoner is in the same place in the prison. For example, some are in sick bay. That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 30. Most are in the general population, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. A few are in solitary confinement, Acts chapter 16, verse 24. A handful are trustees, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. And a hardened few are on death row, 1 Corinthians 5, 5. What do you think about that? Say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 11:30, is there any among you weak? They're sick. They need help. They need nurturing. They need strengthening. They need medication. They need to be taught. They need to learn so that they might grow and become strong and well. Not everybody, when they first get saved, gets off to the same start. I hear people all the time say, oh, well, bless God, when I got saved, the Lord did this and the Lord did that, and he thinks the Lord ought to do the same thing with everybody. Well, God deals with you according to your sickness. Whatever it is you've got that's causing you the most pain and the most heartache and the most sorrow, God works on those kind of things first. And a lot of Christians, when they first get saved, are pretty anemic. They're not very strong Christians. And the devil could easily sidetrack them and get them messed up. And so God puts them in sick bay until they can be healed and made strong. Then most are in the general population over in chapter 12, verse 23 of Hebrews. It said, talking about the church of the firstborn and the general body of Christ, is talking about most Christians are in the body of Christ, and most Christians do reasonably well. We all have to be trained and taught, but most Christians don't need to go to sick bay when they first get saved. They're perfectly capable of being taught and nurtured and made strong through the preaching and the teaching of the word. Only a handful are going to need special attention and medication. There's a few in solitary confinement, Acts chapter 16, verse 24. Now, Paul and them were in solitary confinement. They were put in the inner prison. Why? Well, they were special objects of pursuit by the devil. Here were some folks that got saved, and because of their testimony and their zeal for the Lord, they were hazarding their lives. And they couldn't be left in the general prison. They had to be put in the inner prison for protection. And there are some Christians whose lives are so centered on Christ and who live such godly lives and are such a testimony for Christ that the devil is out to destroy them, and the Lord has to give special protection for those people. Then there are a handful of trustees. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. Paul said that he thanked God that he counted him worthy to be put into the ministry. He was a trustee. It's a great privilege granted us by God to allow us to preach the gospel of the Jesus Christ. I mean, not just everybody gets called to preach the gospel. Now, everybody gets called to pass out tracts. Everybody gets called to be a witness. But to pastor a church or to be a missionary, an evangelist, that's a special calling. And it's only those people who God has some confidence in get that call. Now, not everybody that gets that call is worthy of that call. Amen. God bestows an honor upon them, and then they fail. It happens all the time. And then there are a few on death row, 1 Corinthians 5:5. And over in 1 Corinthians, you'll find out there was a young man sleeping with his father's wife, his stepmother. And he wouldn't let that thing go, and Paul was going to turn him over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. He was a saved man. Think about what he was doing. He said, oh, I don't believe you can do this or that or the other thing and be saved. Really? It don't get much worse than this. Amen. But he was obviously a saved man, and they're going to turn him over to the devil for the destruction of flesh, that the spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a good number of Christians that put themselves on death row. They're prisoners of the Lord. Let me close with this. Two little points, but I like both of them. Everybody that came to Christ for salvation and came to become a prisoner of the Lord received a life sentence. A life sentence. I give unto them eternal life. Amen. And eternal life is eternal. So they not only got life, they got eternal life. You understand? What a blessing that is. Say, what did you get when you became a prisoner Lord? I got life. He gave me life. I got life. I'm a lifer. Not only did I receive a life sentence, I'm a prisoner with no possibility of parole. I'm so saved, I can't get unsaved. I'm saved. You know what he said? He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always, even unto the end of the world. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. This is the happiest prisoner you ever saw in your life. Now, I was in another prison one time, and I was not so happy. And the warden over there was a hard taskmaster. I'm in prison over here to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's a wonderful taskmaster. Amen. Whose prisoner are you? You're a prisoner to somebody. You either are prisoner to the devil, or you're a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're a prisoner of the devil, you're still in your sins, you're on your way to hell, and you think this is bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. And if you receive Jesus Christ and become a prisoner of the Lord, you've got a life sentence with no possibility of parole. My wife likes those crime shows, and I've got where I like them. I mean, you know, sooner or later you are what your friends are. And all the time I hear him say, and he got life in prison without possibility of parole. I think, man, that is a scary thought. Here's some kid, 20 or 25 years old, that has ruined his life, and they are going to lock him up in a steel cage with murderers and rapists and thugs and perverts and child molesters for the rest of his life, and no possibility of parole. If you die and go to hell, there is no possibility of parole. And you'll be locked up with the scourge and the off-scouring of this world. There are things that go on in this world that the average American citizen never dreamed of. You have no idea how some of the rest of the world lives and the stuff that they're into. And I pray to God you never, ever find out. But you could become a prisoner of the Lord. You get that same life sentence. You get that same no possibility of parole. Boy, you ought to see this prison house. It's a mansion in the sky. You ought to see the banquet table. It's the marriage supper of the Lamb. You ought to see the sunrise. The Lamb is the light thereof. I thank God that I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow your Father, we thank you for your goodness, for your mercy. Thank you for that day you birthed us into your family. And we